Welcome to episode 37 of Cracking the Spine. I'm Zane.
I'm Sean.
I'm Josh.
Hey, guys.
We made it 37 episodes, guys. That's as many dicks as that girl did sucked in
the Clerks.
Clerks the movie.
Yeah. That's a lot of dicks.
Right?
I got worried when you started talking about dicks.
I'm just saying. That's my, like, forever that would be my association with the number 37. 37. Yeah. That's why when we got 36 last week, I was like, I don't have a joke, but just next wait till week. Next week.
You've been holding on to it.
It's good old 37.
What am I going to do for next week? It's also a prime number.
It is. No.
What? Yeah, it is.
So it's 17 times 2.
Anything times 2 is not going
to
be...
Your mother's butt.
34.
Anything times 2 isn't going to be an odd number.
I know.
Okay.
He put his foot up.
Josh is the math geek on the show too. I wouldn't expect to own him.
Yeah,
in
you're
math.
Supposed to be the smart one.
It's 34. I got confused. They were cones.
They were cones.
Zane, what are you reading?
I'm still reading Abomination by Gary Whitta.
Have you gotten any further?
A little bit, not much. I haven't had time.
Are you enjoying it anymore?
Yeah, I'm enjoying it fine. It's just not.
She doesn't like it.
The way that you described it to me made me feel like I was gonna fall in love with it, and I didn't. But it's. I mean, it's. A totally fine book.
She doesn't
There's
like it.
Nothing
it's a
wrong
totally
with it.
Fine book. Right? They would put that on the back. A totally fine book, says Zane.
Zane cracking the spine.
So,
a perfectly adequate...
I promise I will be finished by next week.
All right. That's a promise from her to you, listener.
Oh, boy.
Sean, what are you reading?
I gave up on The Wind-Up Girl, which I had threatened to do last week.
Yeah.
So I did, because it was not holding my interest. And then I picked up Sleeping Giants, I had said, which the one where a girl falls, and she doesn't fall, I think I said last week that she falls into a giant's footprint, but it's not, she actually falls into a giant's hand, like an actual hand.
Yeah.
It's good, it's really interesting, it's written, it's not a narrative, it's, every chapter is files, government case
files,
so it's interviews and transcripts from... Like satellites.
Like the adult version of that book I read.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah.
I don't know if I would like
Dead
that.
House.
That seems weird to me. It would be too, that reminds me of, you remember early websites for movies?
Yes.
Yes.
Where, they were like, here's a file. It's like viral marketing. Yeah. It kind of reminds me of that.
It's good. And the thing I really like about it is there's a lot of, like the files aren't dated. So, there's a lot of time jumps that are going on.
Okay.
So it's like, he'll set up, this thing is going to happen, and then, you get to the next file, and not only did that thing already happen, but we're, 5 steps beyond it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So it's cool. I mean, I don't know if it's the greatest story I've ever read.
Yeah.
But it's cool. It'll be out in April.
All right.
I'm actually back into that thing now, where I'm only, I'm reading a bunch of stuff that's coming out, because I went to this convention over the weekend, and...
Where you did
no
what?
No big deal.
Where I got my award. Whatever. Sweet award klaxons. And I hooked up with a bunch of
you made out with a bunch of
people.
You're an award winner now.
Your
you can do that.
Your wife listens to this podcast, Sean.
She does too.
I know.
But I was networking. Also, my wife was there.
Yeah, making out with these people. Also,
yeah. No, I was doing some networking, and the consensus from a lot of editors and people that work for publishing companies is, if you keep sending them, your reviews of stuff, you'll get stuff earlier, and you have the ability to get quoted on things.
Right.
Really?
So it's kind of self-serving. Yeah, I've actually been quoted on the pre-release copies of 2 Joe Hill novels.
How do I do that?
I've actually been quoted.
I won a bunch of awards, and Joe Hill's my best friend. We go fishing with his dad.
His dad won an award on Saturday night, too.
Well, really?
Yeah, but he wasn't there.
Oh.
You know who was there? I told you guys last week. Dave Pilkey, author of Captain Underpants.
Yeah, you told us that.
I met Jesse Eisenberg.
Which is crazy.
Right? Dude, it was really crazy.
You met Lex Luthor.
I said to him, I was like, I go, who wins, Batman or Superman? And he gives me this deadpan look and he goes, funny, you're the first person to ever ask me that.
Oh boy.
That's a pretty good impression of him.
Dude, he is his characters.
Yeah.
That's not an act, man.
Yeah.
He's just,
that's
he's
it.
That guy. And he's hilarious. He made a speech. He was really, really funny.
He probably had somebody write it. One of his writer friends out in Wrightland.
Probably.
More like Wrongland.
Yeah.
Take that, Eisenberg. Put that on your Facebook.
If you would have invented that burn, you would have invented that burn.
Oh, good. Josh, do we even have to ask? What did you read?
I read almost 200 pages of The Fold.
No, you didn't.
I'm almost done.
Really?
I read it in like 2 days.
You're enjoying it, I'm guessing?
I like it. I do. I got a lot to say about it.
Okay. Do you want to wait until you finish it? Or
is
you want...
it about, like, the science in it?
No, that's fine. Okay. It's fine. That's all fine.
That's fine. It checks out.
The science is terrible. I mean, it's not real. It's just theoretical, yeah. It's
fine, science fiction, whatever. But, like, I shouldn't have read Ernest Klein first, because the nerve twinges my nerve whenever I... Because it's got references in it. They're not awful. They're not...
I actually think he does it pretty well.
He does it pretty well. There are ones that I laughed at that I was like, that's really funny. And then there are ones where I'm sort of like, you can just get rid of this. Let's get that out of there. Because, like, I don't know. But then I had to remember that, like, we're old now, and people, like, talk like that now, I guess.
Okay.
About useless, stupid shit. Like, dumb movies.
Like, pop culture references and stuff. Yeah,
That's how people talk or something. But, like, I don't know. I liked it. It kept me going. I kind of knew what was going to happen. I was like, okay, I see where this is. I knew as soon as the dude came in and was like, where's my stuff? You moved my office. I knew right away
okay. What
was going to happen. I was like, oh, they're coming out different. I'm going to spoil the whole book.
It's all my staff picks.
They're all different. So I don't want to spoil it. But I like it. I'm going to finish it probably tonight or tomorrow.
Cool.
So. Wow.
Ironic that Josh would read a book this week, because our topic, well, you'll see in a minute.
Yeah.
Because we've got a topic that we got from a listener.
Yep.
That we'll get to in a few minutes. Not a few minutes. Really shortly, actually.
Well, it might be for us. Time slows here.
After this short break.
Hey, thanks for listening and hanging out with us here on Cracking the Spine. If you're listening on the iTunes or Android marketplace, please do review the show. Even if it's just stars, a written review would be great, but that really does help our show in, like, search stuff. If you want to get in touch with us, you can find us on Facebook. Just search Cracking the Spine. We're on Twitter, at Cracking Spine. And you can drop us an email with show ideas or complaints or what have you. Just drop it to crackingthespineshow@gmail.com. Welcome back to episode 37 of Cracking the Spine. That was not a few minutes, but I am still Sean.
I'm still Zane.
I'm a different version of Josh.
Oh,
The fold.
Went through the thing.
I don't get that joke.
You should read it. I think she'd dig it.
Yeah, you'd like it probably.
If you ever finished Abomination.
Yeah.
I'll never finish it.
And I'll never make a recommendation again, because this one didn't go over very well.
Whoops.
Just saying.
One and done.
Man. That's it. That's how it goes.
Yeah. That is how it works.
So speaking of books Zane doesn't like to read. No? Worst segue ever.
Sure.
Best segue ever.
Topic time!
Topic!
Oh, did anybody write his name down?
I did.
Oh, great. So Zane, why don't you go ahead and introduce it?
We got an email from Jason Bao.
I knew it was Jason. I said that last week. Okay.
Or Ba. And he suggested that we talk about people who don't read, people who don't enjoy reading, and just never
why they don't read them.
Why don't they?
And he specifically in the email mentioned Josh, didn't he? Didn't he say, like,
he called
people
Josh,
like me and Josh?
Oh, I don't know. I only remember him calling Josh Hollywood Josh.
That's right. He did call Hollywood Josh.
Yeah.
Well, that fits in so many ways.
I think he meant more like Hollywood from Mannequin.
Wow. Oh my god, that reference is crazy.
Hey, they shot that movie in Philadelphia. You know how I know that? Because everybody who lives in Philadelphia talks about every
Tells
movie
you.
That was shot in Philadelphia.
Training
That's
Places.
True.
Yep. 12 Monkeys.
12 Monkeys.
Rocky.
Rocky.
M. Night Shyamalan's.
Salami Mon.
And
what's the other one?
The movie Philadelphia.
Yes.
with Tom Hanks.
That movie with Tina Fey and Amy Poehler.
That was also took place in Philadelphia.
Mean Girls?
Do not think it was shot
did
here.
Did they not
though.
Actually shoot it?
I don't think so.
Oh, the one where she's pregnant.
Yeah, 40, they did. They, 40 going on, I'm pregnant.
They shot, like a lot of the exteriors. But Josh is right. They didn't actually shoot in Philly.
I think it was.
Oh.
Yeah.
Los Bangalese.
That was actually, I mean, if we can get a little bit more off track here.
Let's get way off track.
That was right after the state took away all the tax incentives they were giving filmmakers. Yeah.
Yep. So,
thanks, former Governor Tom Corbett.
Tom Corbett, former governor. Don't vote for him again. Because he can't. Because he's done.
That's right. So, not reading.
So, now that that's been resolved.
Well, I don't know.
Yeah, so Josh, I mean...
Yeah, you're a resident non-reader.
I'm the expert on not reading in this reading podcast.
Right up to this week.
Up to now, which... Yeah. But I'm still the
You
expert.
Ruined it!
I know. I was thinking about that when I was reading. I was like, I know what the topic is this week, but... Yeah. Buck the system.
Forget them. Yeah. I'm reading.
I'll do what I want.
Can't ban this book, Obama.
Tell me I can't read. It's like reverse psychology. Like, it's not cool to read when I should, but then I can't. And it's
so,
like...
so speak to the topic at hand.
I mean, it's just a time thing. It's a lazy thing.
Okay.
Also, like, I don't know. It's not that I don't enjoy reading, but I also need to be engaged. And sometimes that takes a while. Like, with, like you guys, like when you give up a book or you know, you're say a book is fine.
Yeah.
Like, that doesn't. I just would quit earlier than that. Like, I wouldn't push through it. I either have to, like it or hate it. I'll read a book if I hate it, too.
You real? Really?
Yeah, because
yeah,
I read...
you'll hate read.
I'll hate read the shit out of a book.
What do you hate read? What's something that you've hate read?
I just have hate read Armada recently.
Oh, okay, fair. Yeah.
There's a few books in college
that
I hate read because I was like, this is the dumbest crap ever, and I don't...
Armada. I didn't even think of that. It's like, dude, it's like as soon as I finished that book, my brain was like, nope.
It damaged my brain, I think. I think I'm hurt. I think it twisted neurons around and made me dumb.
You're probably right. I mean...
I mean, dumber.
No, that's not what I was getting at. But, like, yeah, that book has the ability to do that.
It's awful.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know. It's not, like, it's not that I don't like it. I really like reading. But if there's a choice sometimes between reading and watching Lord of the Rings and sleeping on the couch, maybe I'll take that one.
All right.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I think that makes people, I think people feel like that makes them bad, though. Like, that makes them, like, a bad person.
Well, I think we grew up really associating reading books with your intelligence level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, you were always told that smart people read books and they're reading all the time.
Yeah.
And that's where they get their information. And especially now, that's not always true. Like, you don't have to be reading books constantly in order to... be learning. And, you know, I think there's there's still a stigma. Like, I don't like to read. And it's like, well, then you must be stupid. True at all.
I think you're right. Cause I remember it being very scarred when I was little, like not really, but I remember like in fifth grade, we had to do these reports.
Yeah.
And we had to do it. Like, you would fail fifth grade, which is like impossible, but like we had to do them. And I remember like, that, like, affecting my liking of reading. I didn't want to do that, you know? Yeah. If someone's like, you have to do this, well, I'm automatically going to not want to do that.
That's what I was going to say. Like, not so much the stigma. I mean, I agree that there was, like, a stigma of, like, stupidity associated with not reading. But I think that there's also an element of people who don't read because, like, for so long, you know, like, you're told to read, and all the stuff you're told to read isn't very fun or interesting.
Yeah.
And, like... I don't know if it's as prevalent as when I was younger, but like there was a lot of like undiagnosed like reading disorders,
oh, yeah, absolutely.
Like
yes.
dyslexia and stuff. So people had literally really, really hard times reading so that when they got older, it was not something pleasurable.
I actually looked up some statistics on that.
What? We got statistics
because
boom, boom, boom. Are they prime numbers? Sorry. Don't ask Josh.
I don't know what that means.
I genuinely don't know what that means.
You should read more.
Well, don't you read math books, you idiot?
So hit us up with some
like
statistics.
Yeah. My entire high school career.
It's statistic time. Boom, boom, boom.
So a lot of people, children especially, complain that they don't like to read because it hurts their eyes or it hurts their head.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's even just like a foggy feeling. And apparently,
I get
30%, or I'm sorry, 33% of the world's working population has uncorrected vision problems.
Yes.
Wow.
And that also affects 30% of all children. So, they don't and need I to know children especially, it's very difficult to diagnose eyesight problems.
Right. Dude, I got a story to tell you about that. If you want it to be eyesight problem story time.
Sure.
Is it gross? Because I don't want to hear a gross
eye story. I've got gross eye stories, but I have... But when I was little, I have amblyopia, is what it's called.
You made that up.
No, I swear to God, look it up.
It sounds like it could be a thing.
I swear to God, I'm serious.
Like two extra
Say it again.
Amblyopia.
Okay.
I was legally blind. I was born legally blind in my right eye, so I was legally blind for, like, years.
Like Reese Witherspoon.
Right. Like, legally blonde.
Thank you.
But, like...
See, just got it.
But, when I was a kid, it was Halloween, and I was gonna be a pirate. So, my mom was putting the eye patch on me.
Yeah.
And, like... I was like, no, like, she was, like, putting it on my left eye, which is the eye that functions better. And, like, I was like, no, stop. Like, and she was like, stop it, you know? And I was like, put it on my good eye. She's like, what the hell are you talking about? I'm like, my good eye.
How old are you?
Like, 4.
Okay.
Like, how would they have ever known? You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, but at that age, like, you assume, like, you're still at that point in development where, like, the world revolves around you.
Yes.
Right.
Like, you close your eye and the world disappears. Right. So you would just assume everybody knows everything
that
you know.
I assumed people knew that, and I also just assumed that. Well, it's just normal, because I didn't know any better. It wasn't one day I woke up, couldn't see anything. You know what I mean? It just was that way.
Yeah.
So,
well, and I was
say it
reading...
again.
Amblyopia.
I was reading about how a lot of learning disorders are actually, like, misdiagnosed vision problems, especially in kids. So very often in the classroom, if you have a kid who hates to read, or, like, if they get excited about reading, but then they pick up the book and they kind of start squirming and they want to put it down, it's very often vision.
Mm-hmm.
And the same research also said that apparently for people with, like, certain types of vision problems, high contrast triggers their vision problems, and nothing is more high contrast than a book. It's white and black.
Yeah.
So it makes a lot of people uncomfortable, and it got me thinking about how I feel like there has been a surge in the number of people and the types of people that read lately, and they read ebooks. They read on their readers, and I wonder if the ability to sort of manipulate brightness, or even if just... Because I know other people also complain about, like, e-readers hurting their eyes.
Yeah, but you can switch, I think, the...
But I wonder if it, like, diffuses it in some way, like, diffuses the contrast
in a way that... I wouldn't want to do that. I wouldn't want to read on an e-reader.
No, but it just made me wonder if, like, I feel like reading is sort of...
Opening up,
it's gotten a little bit more popular.
Definitely, yeah.
And and I'm wondering if some of that is people actually have trouble looking at print on a page.
That's interesting.
Yeah,
I don't know.
No,
I mean,
it could be. It could absolutely.
That's complete conjecture.
Because I'm looking at the stats.
That's
I'm in the other
wondering.
School. I can't read on an e-reader for any extended period of time.
I agree.
I start to get headaches.
Yeah.
I mean, I start to get headaches though, just like looking at stuff.
Yeah. Just
like,
opening my eyes.
I wake up sometimes
before I open my eyes.
Yeah.
But like there was this little girl in here today. Who wanted The Diary of Anne Frank. Well, she called it The Diary of Anne Frank, but it's actually called the Autobiography of a Young Girl. Or The Biography of a Young Girl.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's The Diary of Anne Frank. And, like, she was with her dad, and he's like, here you go, honey. And she, like, flips through it, and she was like, oh my gosh, it's too many words for me. And I was like, I've never heard that exact expression, too many words.
The font is small.
And then, she was walking through the store with her dad, and he was like, I'll get you something else, whatever, you know, we can get something else.
Mm-hmm.
And she just kept going, they all have too many words for me, they all have too many words. And I'm in my head, because I'm like, you know, kind of game planning for this, for tonight.
Right.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, like, that sounds to me like it could be an undiagnosed, like, this, you know, or maybe even diagnosed. Maybe, maybe they know what they're dealing with.
Right.
But it's interesting that it could be as fixable as just a pair of glasses.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Like,
amblyopia, you know. Onomatopoeia.
Hey, man, it's very serious. It's not serious at all. It's not.
But I was also thinking, aside from, you know, I think, especially for me, like, I've always liked reading and I've always enjoyed it. It's hard to imagine someone who just doesn't like reading. So right. I think it might, like, looking up these statistics, like, oh, well, people don't like reading because there's something physically wrong with them. Like, right. that reassured me in some way. But I think, like, I was also thinking about how, like, I know a lot of people that, especially older generations, that are like, I don't like to watch TV.
Right.
Like, and they just don't like it. They don't like that medium. And I think...
My mom cannot watch movies. She can't. She's bad at it. She's one of those people that is bad at watching a movie, but she reads, like, 3 books a week.
Yeah. Like, people just have...
How are you bad at watching a movie? I'm sorry.
She sucks at it, dude.
What does that mean?
She can't understand it. It's like she's watching, like... She was one of those people in when they showed the first movie of the train coming. She thought the train was coming. Like, she doesn't understand, like, the medium. Like, it doesn't... Like, there are rules in a movie.
I hope Josh's mom doesn't listen to the podcast.
She knows. I tell her all the time. I'm like, you're really bad at this. She'll not pay attention for 2 seconds and then be like, I don't know what's going on. I don't know what to tell you, dude.
But she can, like, read books.
Yeah, she reads, like, all the time.
I think people just have, like, preferences when it comes to media, like, how they consume their stories. Because, again, like, you meet people who are like, I don't even own a television. It's like, okay, you know. But, like, there people have those preferences. And I think it's the same with books. Like, people just, some people don't like to consume stories that way.
I think it's kind of goes back to, like, what you were saying before, though, too. I think when you're a child, it you know, it seemed, when I was in school anyway, it seemed like lots of kids didn't like to read.
Yeah.
And definitely, only a few kind of, like, squeaked through and became, like, avid readers. I knew a girl in high school that read constantly, at lunch, all the time, was reading a book. But, like, that was, like, she was, like, the only person I knew that ever did that.
And that girl's name was Rory Gilmore.
That girl's name was Rory Gilmore.
There's studies that have been done that, like, when you're raising a child, if you had, like, families that have books, like, parents are reading, and there's books around, and there's books on shelves, and you leave board books out, obviously, like, what, I mean, it seems obvious, but they've, like, there's research behind it, that those kids grow up to be readers for pleasure. Like, it doesn't become a chore for them.
Well, and I was going to say, like, I knew lots of people that, especially, like, when we got into college and stuff, people who had genuinely never read a book, for themselves.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you don't, I was raised in a home with books everywhere. And I, you know, if I didn't like a book, my parents were like, well, why don't you try this one? And, you know, like, trying to find books that I liked. And, so that was always open to me. And like, I hated reading books in school. I hated those books that they assigned us, but I loved reading, which my teachers could never understand, but which made total sense to me. And, you know, but I know kids that just never realized that you could read something just for fun. And I knew kids in college that were like, I hate reading. I hate it. And then I would lend them, like, Harry Potter or something. And these were college kids. Right, and they'd be like, oh my God, it was so much fun to read that book. And it's books can be fun sometimes. Like, you don't have to read Great Expectations. Right. It's okay.
And it comes, like, it, you know, I go back to, like, because it's my experience. It goes back to the parenting thing. Like, because, like when I sell summer books to kids, like, summer reading books to kids, you can always tell, like, whose parents do and don't read. Like, you know, if you're selling a summer reading book at, like, late May or early June, those are readers. Yeah. But, like, if it's the end of August or even into the first 2 weeks of school and the parent comes in, they're like, apparently my kid has to read a book. I'm like, it's on you.
Yeah.
And, both of my kids, I read The Hobbit to, like, before they turn a month old.
Mm-hmm.
And now, like, my daughter, my God, is, like, an avid reader and a good reader. She can actually read at 5. And my son, it's getting to the point, dude, it's almost annoying how often he brings over a book and he's like, because he just wants you to read to him all the time.
Yeah.
Well, you got to put him to bed. It's bedtime, man. Go to sleep.
Not all the time.
It can be. I guess my personal experience was, like, my mom never, like, pushed me to read either, but she would read to me, but, like, I don't know, like, I always think I'm in this weird gray area because I really enjoy it, but then I kind of get out of it.
Yeah.
I think that's the majority of people, to be honest with you. I think, like, you're doing a pot, you know, you're on a show with a guy who works in a bookstore and a girl who reads, like, who has always read avidly. Right. I think the majority of people are really more like you. Like, it's more like every once in a while, you know, grab something.
It's not that I always thought I was bad at it. I remember thinking I was bad at reading.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't, like, over the moon about it. Like, you know, like, I was, like, told that this was going to be, like, some gateway to something. Yep. But it's really kind of just, like, exercise sometimes. Right. Like, sometimes you read and it's just, you're just exercising your brain. And, like, that's great. That's a very great thing to do. But, like, sometimes you don't want to exercise.
Yeah, that's true. Well, and that's, I was thinking about that, how, again, we talked about this before with assigned reading. You know, if you don't have books laying around your house and then you're assigned Great Expectations in school and you're told this is a fantastic piece of literature, it's the best thing you will ever read, you like this book, you have to like this book, you have to enjoy it. Why is Charles Dickens so great? You know, and you read the book and you're like, I don't understand it and I don't like it. And I think a lot of kids think like, maybe I'm stupid.
Something wrong
with I'm not cut out for reading. Yes. You know, and that's instead of presenting material and going, do you even like this?
Yeah, same thing with
think critically about it. Like, you're just told, you know, this is Shakespeare, you love it. And you're like, I kind of don't right
this
now.
This is the best thing that humans have done.
And I think a lot of people get turned off and they think that they're too stupid to read, which is so off base.
It's, it's really, it's all dependent on, like, the gateway that you give them, right?
Yeah.
Like, you need to give them, like, something. But who knows? Like, that's the thing. That's kind of the tough part about books is, like, you can't consume a book in 2 hours. Like,
it's a commitment.
Right, you have to spend hours reading it. Yeah, you know.
I think it's difficult to for a lot of people because I struggle with this and I read a lot. It's hard to find books that you like.
Yes, it is.
It's really hard to find. Or I actually remember. I think it was you, Sean. I remember having a discussion with you and Paige when I was in like middle school or high school, and you guys were both working at a different bookstore.
Right.
And you kept bringing books home for me and I kind of didn't like them. And I remember, I think might've been Paige, cause I remember frustration. Like, what kind of books do you like to read, Zane? And I was like, I don't know. Like, I couldn't describe it. Like, I only knew it.
And then you sat up and you said, I want to rock. And then that song played.
But like, you know, if it's like, I almost feel like I read too much and I like use up the good books and then there's
I totally feel like that. I totally feel like that.
And I feel like it's my own fault. Like I went through them too quickly.
Read them all
I used it up.
Yeah.
That's why I was doing that coloring thing for so long for like the past couple of weeks because it was like, I'm all out of good books.
You're out.
I've read all the good
you
books.
You read them all. I feel that way. But like I read all the time and I'm used to selecting books and stuff and I can see where if you don't read as frequently or like you're not in the habit of picking out books. I can see we're walking into a bookstore or something. You just
it's overwhelming.
Go,
it's,
I don't even know what I want to read and just electing not to do it.
Yeah.
Like I think that has something to do with it, which is why maybe people kind of glean onto like book clubs or like we were talking the other week about like on Good Morning
it's
America.
Like joining, I was going to say, as you were saying that, like that idea that like you don't know what you like.
Right.
So that whenever, like if everybody in your social circles is going, you know, the girl on the train, the girl on the train, the girl on the train, you go, all right, you know, I like books haven't gotten to me before.
Yeah.
Maybe this is my entry point.
I find that annoying though.
I do too,
because
but
I don't want people telling me about how great a book is. I mean, I don't mind like you or you guys telling me or whatever, but I don't want like
societal pressure.
Oprah.
Yeah.
You know, being like, this is the book of the year. Like,
well, I have a little bit of that like music snob thing where it's like, well, if everyone's reading it, then I don't want to read it. You know, like it's like not cool.
No,
to read
I get I do that too because like I don't I just don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear your opinion about I don't want to hear everyone's opinion about the one thing.
The opinion makers.
Yeah.
Right. All right.
Yeah.
Cool. Hey, did anybody see The Martian?
I did.
How was it?
I liked it a lot. It's the best Star Trek movie I've seen since the new ones came out.
There we go.
There it is.
There it is.
It's a Star Trek movie. It's great. It's a great movie. It's awesome.
Good.
All right, great. All right, cool. I think
Josh I might read it, but I think I might listen to it. Have a
Isn't someone reading it that you don't like?
Is it him?
I think it might be him.
Is
it might be Will
Wheaton.
Is
it Will Wheaton?
I think so.
He doesn't listen to the podcast because he's blocked me on Twitter.
Blocked me too. I'm blocked by Will Wheaton on Twitter.
Jeez.
Which means I've had interaction with Will Wheaton.
You
he's technically
ridiculous.
Seen me.
Right?
Oh
in fairness,
touching
we
greatness.
Deserved it.
Yes. Yes, you absolutely
I mean,
it.
We broke the primary directive of Will Wheaton's life.
Don't tell him he's an idiot. Hey, idiot, you're an idiot. I think that's what we said.
Idiots don't like to find out that they're idiots.
Yeah, they don't like that. Don't point out that to them.
Hey, Yay!
All right, on that klaxon note, I think we're going to go ahead and take a little break. We'll come back. We've got some surprises in store for the third segment of Cracking the Spine. Never really thought, never thought you'd go so far. Welcome home. Wash away the coldness of the moon. Come on, sit down by the fire. Fixed up your old.
Welcome back to episode 37 of Cracking the Spine. I'm Josh.
Sean here.
I'm Zane.
Checking in. All right.
What's this part? What do we do in this part?
Well, we just read some Mad Magazine during the break.
We did.
Do you want me to read some more?
No.
Oh, my God. I think
no.
Guys.
No.
The Gordon Ramsay was called Gordon Ramrod.
Oh, no.
Dude.
So no classic. One cares.
And the show was called Messy Chef Junior.
Oh, we gotta go.
Josh has to go.
I'm going to throw up.
So, like I said, I was hanging out with really important people this weekend.
Yeah.
They were hanging out with me, too, yes. I would say.
They were there for you.
Yeah. So, one of the people that I met was Zane's boyfriend and Mark Zuckerberg body double.
Hey-o.
Jesse Eisenberg.
Eisenberg.
So, I went ahead and got Zane a copy of a book that she already has.
Yay!
Which is his book, Bream Gives Me Hiccups and Other Stories.
Uh-huh.
And I got it signed by Jesse Eisenberg. And, Zane, do you want to go ahead and read the inscription for the readers?
I do.
The listeners, rather?
It says, Dear Zane, nice to meet Sean, Jesse Eisenberg.
Which I thought was pretty funny.
That's pretty good.
I got another book.
He wrote my name.
I told him you were on a podcast, too.
Ooh.
So he might listen.
Whoa. Oh, I'm sure he will.
actually, I went up to him and I was like, I talked to him for a little bit and I was like, so I have a podcast? And I could see in his face he was thinking, oh God, he's going to ask me
Dude,
to be
it's
on.
Like,
or,
it's like getting handed a tape.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
when you're in a band.
Exactly.
Yeah. Here's my script.
And I didn't, I didn't. Although when I made my speech, I definitely plugged the show.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I saw that. That was great.
Yeah, I was like, I'm like, you know, there's some really good part, like benefits of my job. You know, like I got to hang out with Neil Gaiman and I got to sit down and do an interview with James Morrow. Or should I tell you guys about how Dwayne Swierczynski was in my dining room? Or do I talk about, you know, my podcast, Cracking the Spine, new episodes every Thursday on the iTunes Store?
That's great.
It was pretty fun. So back to Jesse Eisenberg. I also, I wanted to get a copy of the book signed for myself because I felt like, you know, he was there.
Yeah.
So he signed mine. And Zane, do you want to read this inscription?
Yes.
For the listeners?
It says, Dear Sean, nice to be able to sign a book for Zane, Jesse Eisenberg.
That guy is so funny.
Right? That's not bad,
dude.
He
wrote my name twice.
You're practically married.
He had to remember it the second time around.
Actually, it's funny because, he gave his speech, and then,
I'll take both of these. Like,
you can have them both. It's fine.
I need 3 copies of this book that I haven't finished yet on my shelf. I'm sorry, Jesse Eisenberg.
And he was the last speech of that night.
Yeah.
It wasn't the awards dinner. It was the night before the awards dinner. And, so he finishes his speech, and the woman who was running the whole show comes back, and she was like, okay, so Jesse's going to, he'll be over at the signing table later if you'd like to meet him. And I'm like, nah, fuck that. So I watched him. He left the room, and he was going to go to the bathroom. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I didn't follow him to the bathroom, but I kind of, like, stood out in the lobby and pretended I was doing stuff on my phone.
Oh, my God.
And when he came back, I was like, hey, Jesse, hey, can I talk to you for a minute?
Oh,
and he was like, yeah, sure. So, like, we had a whole conversation before anybody else got the chance to talk to him. The point being, so then he goes.
We're married now.
He goes and he sits down at the autograph table, and it was, like, 45 minutes to an hour, and he's standing there signing books, and every person is, like, insisting they take a picture together.
Oh, God.
Right? Dude, like, now, in fairness, I took a picture with him, too.
Get out!
But not at the signing table. So, I was waiting until it died down, and then I grabbed the books, and I went over, and I was like, hey, can you sign them? And he was like, yeah, Sean, who am I signing them to? And I was like, he remembered my name! That's all. That's the end of that story.
That's awesome. One time, I met Beck, and then, like...
The Beck?
Yeah. And then, like, 4 years later, I met him again, and he remembered me, because my name was weird. Because the first time I talked to him, he was like... We talked about how we both had weird names.
Yeah.
And then when I, like, reintroduced myself years later, he was like, Zane, I remember that. We had that conversation. Oh, I was like, God. Yeah, we did.
That's crazy.
That's weird. Isn't he a Scientologist?
Yes, he is.
Okay. Is he?
He's super cool in person, though, I will say. Scientology aside.
Okay.
I met somebody cool once.
Who was it?
No, you didn't.
I grabbed the singer. It was Zane. I grabbed this, the real big fish, the singer. I grabbed his butt once when I hugged him.
Heyo.
I was talking to him outside of a show or something.
That's the best celebrity story.
Real big fish. I don't even know that band.
Because the way you told it.
I don't know if I met anyone else famous. Who else?
I met Les Claypool once. Is he famous anymore?
Yeah, he's famous.
I like Les Claypool. All right. Like Primus.
The daughter on the show Coach tried to take me home once.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my God! You could have banged Coach's daughter.
We were at a reception and her girlfriend. We were at a reception. Yeah, dude. We were at a reception. You were there that
Your
night.
Your wife listens to this.
Paige was there too. Paige knows.
What?
We were at a reception. We were living in L.A. and we were at a party at the Peterson Auto Museum.
Mm-hmm.
And she was there.
I remember that.
And
I mean,
it
I don't
was
remember
like,
that, but
it,
I
like
being
it wasn't
there.
Like, do you want to come home with me? But it was very like. It was almost that blatant.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Well, Coach's daughter.
Yeah, right?
So, the moral of the story is, we're all pretty famous.
That's really right. Popular. That's right. They don't call
really
me Hollywood Josh for nothing.
Important people.
And on that note, let's go polish our award statues and sign autographs for people, because the show's over, guys.
Yeah.
I'm sure my book, autograph book, is on its way.
You weren't reading at that point.
You don't love him as much as I do, Josh.
I got this Mad Magazine
Don't
right here.
Don't give me any more Mad Magazines or Armada stickers, please.
We slice up Gordon Ramsay's MasterChef Jr.
All right. The show's over.
Alfred E. Newman's chopping stuff up, and he chops his own arm off, and Gordon Ramsay's like, why'd you do it?
Thanks for listening. Internet.
We'll talk more next week right here on Cracking the Spine.
Best show ever, dear.